To really get kicked off, I want you to think about with me, if you would, back when you were a child, what would have happened to you if as a child, your mama or your daddy came in from outside and asked you to do something for them, and you looked at them and said no? You wouldn't be here tonight. You wouldn't have made it, would you, brother? Think about that for a second. Tonight we're talking about what to expect when we reject divine assignments. I ask you to open in your Bible to the first chapter of Jeremiah. And I just, as you turn there, I just want you to try to hold in your image and in your mind and wherever you get creative, in your mind's eye, I want you to hold in your mind that picture of you as a child and your mom or your dad or your grandparents or an authority figure, whoever it may be, come to you and make a request and you say, no. And then I want you to try to put into perspective what happens in the opening part of the story of Jeremiah when the Lord speaks this beautiful moment into Jeremiah's life. And you've heard it before in verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Listen to what the Lord is saying to Jeremiah tonight. I intentionally and creatively formed you together in your mother's womb. And I consecrated you and I have appointed you as a prophet to the nations. I have given you an assignment, is what the Lord is saying to Jeremiah. And we struggle, don't we, from time to time. We struggle with thinking, what is it that God wants for us to do? Some of you may be struggling with that tonight. You may be thinking to yourself, what has God left me on earth for? What is it that I'm here for? What does God have for me to do? Well, the beautiful thing about Jeremiah is in this moment, God is answering that question that lingers in so many of our minds. And it's just a beautiful passage. It says in verse 4, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Our God is a God who is near to us. Our God is an intimate God. Our God is one who knows us better than we know ourselves. Our God is a God who is familiar with us. Beautiful theology tucked away in that one verse. You would think, wouldn't you, that Jeremiah would come jumping out of his seat saying, yes, Lord, like Isaiah, here I am, send me. But that's not what happens with Jeremiah. He says in verse 6, and then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. And then the Lord put out his hand and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. And so this evening we're thinking about what to expect when we reject divine assignments. And I want you to go back to that question that I asked you. What would have happened to you if you would have told your mama or your daddy, no? There were two young boys. One of them said to the other, have you ever mouthed off to your dad? He said, yeah, once when I was 8. Really? What happened? He said, I don't know. I didn't wake up till I was 12. You'll be interested to know tonight that God treats Jeremiah a little bit different, contrary to how I might respond to my kids or how the dad in the joke responded. The Lord's response to Jeremiah is quite amazing, and it reveals some important things about his character and about who God is. But before we look at the Lord's response to Jeremiah, I want for us to think about other reasons that people reject divine assignments. You see, Jeremiah's response was, Lord God, I'm too young. I don't know how to do what it is that you want me to do. I don't know how to speak, for I'm only a youth. Maybe you don't have that excuse that you can use. Lord, I'm only a youth. But what are some other reasons that people try to reject the divine assignment? Well, one is the fear of man. Sometimes people are so afraid of the human beings that are in front of them that they forget that obedience to the Lord is the most important thing in our lives. You know, one of the groups of people who really get this right are some of the disciples. And if you're making notes, you can write this down, or you can just listen to the passage as I read it to you. But in Acts chapter 5, I'm going to read verses 27 through 29. It says, now the council had brought them in, and they set them down, and the high priest. If you don't know about a high priest, that's an important person, very powerful, okay? The high priest began to question them, saying, we strictly charged you to not teach in this name, talking about the name of Jesus. We strictly charged you not to teach in this name, yet here you are, and you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Well, first of all, praise God that there was a group of people that were so passionate about the gospel of Jesus Christ that their opponents say, you have filled our city with this teaching. That's how passionate they were about the gospel. How awesome would it be one day if somebody in Houston that doesn't like the ministry of Sagemont Church gets on the news or comes down here and says, listen, I'm totally against what you're doing, but you have filled Houston, Texas with the gospel of Christ. How awesome would that be? And so they say, we told you not to teach in this name. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. Glory. We must obey the Lord. We must obey God rather than men. So one of the reasons that sometimes we reject divine assignments, and I don't know what your divine assignment is. I know what Jeremiah's was. Jeremiah's was to be a prophet to the nations. I know what my divine assignment is. I cannot tell you what your calling from God is. But no matter what it is, we tend to struggle with wanting to do what it is that God wants for us to do. One of the reasons is because we're afraid of people. Another reason is not fear of man, it's hatred of man. I'm thinking about Jonah. I'm thinking about a guy who was so angry and so filled with hate over a group of people that he would rather run from God and get thrown into the sea and get swallowed by a fish than to do what God had called him to do. And you know why? Because of hatred. Because he couldn't stand the people that God was sending him to minister to. And so for some of us, we may struggle at times with fulfilling the divine assignment that God has placed on our lives because we're afraid of people, but sometimes we may struggle with fulfilling the divine assignment because we just don't like those people that God is sending us to. Another reason that we may struggle with the divine assignment is because we're protective of our comfort, some of us. It may be emotional comfort, it may be physical comfort. Have you ever just been sitting somewhere and God say, you need to go minister to that person? Because you were so uncomfortable with what it is that the Lord was calling you to do, what the Lord was speaking to you to do, you decided not to do it. Well, that is what I would call protecting your emotional comfort. You didn't want to get out of your comfort zone, and so you didn't do it. I've been there. I think we've all been there before. And so for Jeremiah, one of the reasons that he was struggling with doing the divine assignment was that he said he was too young. But for some of us, we struggle with the divine assignment because, not because we're too young, but because we're afraid of people. Some of us have a strong dislike of people. Some of us want to protect our comfort. Some of us may not say that we're too young, but some of us may be thinking, I don't want to do what you're calling me to do because, Lord, I'm just too old. I'm 37 and I feel like that sometimes. Now, you may not say, I feel too old. You may say something like, well, I've done my time in that ministry. I put my time in on that team, you know. And what we're saying is, no, Lord, I'm too old. Find somebody younger with a little more energy. And really all we're doing right now is just walking through a list of reasons that sometimes we want to say no to God. Perhaps it's a sense of inadequacy. We may say to ourselves, I don't know how, God. Isn't that what Jeremiah says? I don't know how to do this, God. I don't know how to speak. You want me to be a prophet? I don't know how to speak in front of people. I'm a child. I'm a youth, is what he says. And so sometimes when the Lord puts this God-sized vision and God-sized calling on our life, maybe we feel excited on the inside, but we're also terrified and we say, Lord, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do what it is that you've called me to do. Let me tell you something. When you're there, that is exactly where you need to be. Because then you can receive from the Lord his power, his ministry. So fear of man, hatred of man, protective of our comfort, not too young but too old, a sense of inadequacy, a claim of ignorance, Lord, I don't know how to do this. But let's go to the passage tonight and let's try to wrap our minds around what it is that the Lord says to Jeremiah when he tells him the no. When Jeremiah says, no, Lord, I can't do that for you. I don't know how to speak. I'm too young. The Lord responds. Jeremiah says, no, I can't do that. The Lord responds to Jeremiah. What I want to do for us tonight is to walk us through some of those responses. There are four of them in verses 7 through 10. And the first response that Jeremiah gets whenever he refuses to do what it is that God wants him to do is he hears from God a commitment to the will of God, not to the desires of men. Here's what I mean by that. Go back with me if you would and look. Verse 6 carries the rejection letter. Ah, Lord God, behold, I don't know how to speak. I'm only a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a youth. For everybody to whom I send you, you will go. And whatever I command to you, you shall speak. So what is the Lord doing there? He's simply saying, you are going to do what I've called you to do. You're not going to change my mind, Jeremiah, in other words, is what he's saying. You can cry, and you can yell, and you can beg, and you can do whatever you want, Jeremiah. But in my infinite wisdom, I have decided that when I was forming you in your mother's womb, I had consecrated you, and I appointed you a prophet, and you are going to do what I've called you to do. That's what he says to Jeremiah. He doesn't give in other words. What I mean to say is that sometimes perhaps we have this thought, if I just resist the Lord long enough, he'll give up and he'll go find somebody else. And the scripture doesn't teach that. The scripture says that when he decided that Jeremiah had an assignment, that was his assignment. I mean, if that would have been true for anybody, it would have been true for Jonah. If anybody doubled down on the no over and over and over again, it was Jonah. Think about Moses for a second and how many times he told God no. And God was just so patient. Moses would say no. God would say, you're going. Moses would give him this excuse. God would say, you're going, over and over. And finally Moses went. Finally Jonah went. And so when we're asking the question tonight, what should I expect from God if I were to reject God's assignment? I think that you should expect for God to remain diligent and to not remove the calling that he's placed on your life. Now, the question for us is, how can we be committed to God's will? I mean, I'm saying to you tonight that God is committed to his will. How can we be committed to God's will? How can we be passionate about the Lord's will? It's a great question, and I think it's something that we should talk about a little bit tonight, because I think that if we can get to the place where we are excited about the will of God and we are passionate about the will of God, we won't struggle so much with this first point. I think that to really be committed to the will of God, we have to decide how are we going to answer God before he calls us. In other words, what I'm saying is tonight's Wednesday. You need to decide to tonight what you're going to say to the Lord when he speaks to you tomorrow morning. What I'm saying to you is that in April, you need to decide what you're going to say to the Lord when he speaks to you in March. You see, I think the key for us being committed to the will of God is to decide already what it is that we are going to say to the Lord when he speaks to us. I hope it's yes for you. I hope that it's yes. How do we live committed to the will of God? I made this note. I wanted to share it with you. We have to cherish a future that is unknown over the future that we dreamed up. You know, I understand that when it comes to the will of God, we don't really know what it is. We have a sense of what God has called us to do. We've read Revelation. We know how it ends. We feel secure in what God is doing in our life. But if we're all honest with one another, there's a lot of blank spaces that God hasn't filled in for us yet. I think that's intentional. I don't think that it's God's will and purpose to unfold for you everything that's going to happen in your life and all the things that he's going to call you to do and all the things that he's going to allow you to walk through. I don't think that God does that. So it is true that the will of God is a little more unknown than the will that we dreamed up for ourselves. And so what is the key to being committed to the will of God? It is learning to love the unknown in the hands of God rather than cherishing the things that we have dreamed up. The second response that we see from the Lord in verse 8 is a call to live with courage. Do not be afraid of them, the Lord says, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. And I want to give us a second for our minds and our hearts to shift away from what we were just talking about in verse 7 and to really focus on verse 8 and just listen to what it says. Here's a guy who's struggling to accept what God has called him to do. Here's a guy who thinks that he's not qualified to do what it is that God has called him to do. Here's a guy who just said, Lord, I can't do what you've called me to do. And look at the word that God speaks to him in verse 8. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. He calls them to live with courage. My dear brother and sister, if we will make it through this life pleasing the Lord, we will have to answer the call to courage. Because it takes courage to live for Christ in this age and in every age before us, and I suspect every age after us. But I want you to look at in the second part of verse 8. He says, I'm with you and I will deliver you. In other words, he is supposed to find his courage not from his strength, not from his intellect, not from Jeremiah's witty one-liners, if that's what he was good at. He wasn't supposed to find his lack of fear in other people from who he was. He was supposed to live his life with great courage and with great conviction because he knew that God was near. I was asking you to think about back when you were a child. Do you remember the first time that you went to the dentist? Now, if you're a dentist in here, I have to tell you, y'all have come a long way. You know, praise God that y'all have come a long way. But back when I was growing up, gosh, I'm saying that. I never thought I would say that, you know, back when I was growing up. It was a scary thing to go to the dentist. My dentist had dingy walls. And when you walked in as a young child, you just felt like you were in a dungeon. And the lady who called you back, she had this real deep voice, kind of like I have tonight. I know you've noticed. She never smiled. She called your name like you were next for trouble. And when the door opened, you could see this long hallway. And you're, as a child, you know, your imagination is just running 100 miles an hour. Like, what's down that hall? And I remember as a child going to the dentist. And I don't know what it truly is to be scared to death, but I think I was somewhere close. Scared. And my mom says, I'll go back with you. I can do it. Everything was okay because mama was walking back there with me. Do you remember feeling that as a child? What was mama going to do? Nothing. The dentist was going to do the same thing that the dentist had planned to do, whether mama was sitting there or not, whether she was walking with me down that long, weird, dingy hallway or not. I mean, the dentist was going to do what the dentist was going to do. It changed nothing except for I just had the presence of my mom. And I felt peace in my heart. And the Lord says to Jeremiah, don't be afraid of those people. Because I'm going to be with you. I'm going to walk you down that hallway. I'm going to take you to the places that you need to be. For I'm with you. Look at that next part. To deliver you. That's what he says to Jeremiah. So here's a guy who has basically just chosen to rebel against the Lord. No, I'm not going, God. The two things that God has done already is he's restated his will for Jeremiah, because we all need God to restate his will to us from time to time. And he's called him to courage. The third response that we get from the Lord is that he prepares and he equips Jeremiah. Look with me, if you would, in verse 9. It says, then the Lord put out his hand and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Two things I want you to notice before we look at the fourth response of God. First, God touched the mouth of Jeremiah. How awesome is that? How awesome is it that our God is not afraid to get close to us? Now, here's a young man who has said no to God. God has said, Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you, I consecrated you, I appointed you a prophet to the nations. He is disclosing himself to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah's thanks back to God is, no, God, I'm not doing that for you. So what does God do? God says, no, Jeremiah, we're doing my will. And he says, I'm going to be with you. I'm calling you to live courageous. And then he touches Jeremiah's mouth. And he prepares him and he equips him. Look with me, if you would, in verse 9. The Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. You know, just as a side note, you know where ministers go wrong sometimes? They have a call from God, and they stop speaking the words of God. They stop using his words, and they start using their own. And it's not just ministers. I would encourage you that wherever, whatever mission field you serve on, if it's corporate, wherever it is, on your block, in your home, at your job, we need to make sure that we are serving the Lord in the way that God has equipped us to serve the Lord. You see, the Lord put his words in Jeremiah's mouth, and so it was Jeremiah's responsibility to go to wherever God sent Jeremiah and to speak God's words, not Jeremiah's words. And that's important for anybody who stands on this platform. But it is also important for you, because God has put a ministry in your life, and you need to be faithful to the word of God as well. The fourth response is that God gives Jeremiah a lesson on personal identity, which I think is one of the most interesting and amazing and coolest things. I know I shouldn't use that word, but I don't know another word. This is so amazing that God does this. And here's why I think it's important. Because we typically operate based on how we see ourselves. Have you ever seen a child who was raised up from the time that they could toddle around and speak the language of their parents? Have you ever seen a person who grew up being told over and over and over that you're a nobody and that you'll never amount to anything and that you're going to cause nothing but trouble in this world? And you know, at some point they start believing that, don't they? And you've seen people who've grown up like that and began to live that lifestyle because that's who they believe that they are. My dad convinced me that I was a troublemaker. My mom convinced me I was a nobody. So what am I going to do with my life? I'm going to be a troublemaker and I'm going to do nothing. But I want you to see what God does for Jeremiah, because Jeremiah is really struggling with this thing that God has called him to do. And so God has restated his will for Jeremiah's life. He has called Jeremiah to live a courageous life. He has prepared him. He's touched his mouth. He's put his words in his mouth. And now he gives him a picture and a personal lesson in identity. He tells him who he is in God's eyes. Isn't that good? The Lord wants you to know who you are in his eyes. You know, your enemies will tell you who you are in their eyes. You will look in the mirror and you will make decisions about who you are in your own eyes. But what if we had the courage to live life based on the identity that God sees when he looks at us? That's what he does for Jeremiah. He reminds him of his true identity. I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. So what would your mom done if you would have looked at her and said, no, I don't know. I know what mine would have done. But a more important question is, how does God respond to us when he calls us to an important ministry and we resist? We see it unfold for Jeremiah. He doesn't abandon his will. He restates once again what it is that he has called us to. He challenges us to live with courage. He equips us so that everything that he calls us to do, he equips us to do. And he tells us who we are in the kingdom of God. Do you know who you are according to Scripture? You may be here tonight and you are so beat down because you're believing and you're allowing yourself to see your identity based on the world, maybe your boss, maybe your enemies, maybe your next door neighbor, maybe somebody in your house. But how would your life change if from this point forward you lived your life with an understanding of who you are in Christ? What if you decided today that for the rest of my life, I'm going to live my life according to what the Scripture says I am and according to who the Scripture says I am. So tonight's message is really about the struggle to accept what it is that God has called us to do and the abiding graciousness of the Lord when humans struggle to do the things that God has called us to do. I don't want to mischaracterize God. He is, in fact, a patient God. But should we choose to continue in rebellion, we will face his chastisement and his rebuke. But in this beautiful moment with Jeremiah, this young boy struggling to latch onto his calling, God is gracious and God is merciful. And so I want to close by suggesting some things for us as it relates to what God has called us to do. Probably God hasn't spoken to you that you're going to be a prophet to the nations and that your ministry is going to be in Jerusalem and you're going to serve the Lord in the way that God called Jeremiah to serve the Lord. And really that's the beautiful thing about God, is that our callings are different. But he has called you to something. And so I want to close tonight by guiding us through four things. And the first is to search your own heart. And really, not just your heart, but your recent past. Is there something that God has called you to do, and you're responding like Jeremiah, where you're rejecting what God has called you to? For a number of reasons, perhaps. Maybe you're saying to God, I'm too young. Maybe you're saying to God, I'm too old. Maybe you're saying to God, I don't know how to do that. But I want to ask you just to search your own personal life and ask, is there anything in my life that God has called me to that I am refusing to do? I want to also ask you to make a commitment to pray for the people in our church that are struggling with their calling. You know, maybe it's not you. Maybe you're that Isaiah type of person that when God spoke to you, you said, here I am, Lord, send me. I don't care what it is. I don't care where it's at. I don't care how tough it is. I'll go do it. Now, what's the assignment? I'm saying yes. Now, give me the assignment. Maybe that's where you're at. Maybe you're the person that's just filled with faith. And when I say search your heart, you search your heart and you are clean. You're doing everything that God has called you to do. But there are people here in our family that aren't like that. We have young people in our student ministry, in our college ministry, that's wrestling with God right now over what God has called them to do. Can I ask you to pray for them? We have adults right now who are on a certain career path. Man, they've got it lined out. If I do this for this many years and this for this many years, and I'm going to climb that ladder, and God is calling them to the ministry, and they're struggling because they say, wait a second. In 30 years, I was supposed to be a millionaire in this corporate job, and all of a sudden now, God is calling me, and I'm going to have to walk away, and I'm going to do this, and what? We need to pray for those people in our church. We have some senior adults that have a real struggle in their life because they know that they will not live for 50 more years. And they want to go out in a blaze of glory. And when they close their eyes in death, they want to know that they have done every single thing that God called them to do. Would you be praying for those people? Search your own heart, but pray for the family. Pray for our brothers and sisters that are struggling with this. The third thing that I wrote down is to give thanks and to praise God for this. You know, this can be tough for us sometimes. It can be tough when God calls us to do something and we don't feel like we know how to do it, or we don't have a passion to do it and we're struggling with what it is that God has called us to do. But do you know what that means? It means that God wants for us to be a part of His movement on this earth. How awesome is that? How amazing is it that we have a God that reaches out to Jeremiah, that speaks to Jeremiah, that shares His plans with Jeremiah, and wants Jeremiah to come along board with Him and come on board with God and go do the work of the ministry. How awesome is it that our holy God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, wants us to be a part of what He's doing? It's amazing. The final thing I want to say to you before we close tonight, as we're processing how to respond to these verses in Jeremiah, is to encourage your leaders. Those of us who are on staff, those of us who are not, but we're ministry leaders, deacons, people who serve on teams, Bible study teachers, directors, would you make it a commitment to encourage us to follow the voice of God and to never say no to God? We need people to encourage us in that way. When I was first pastoring, there was an important decision that we were going to make. And I was a young pastor, I was a rookie. And I really wanted to get this right. So one by one, I called up the deacons. One by one, I asked them to come into the office so that we could talk about this. I would tell them on the phone, I want you to come to my office, and I want for us to talk about this thing that it is that we're making a decision on. Now, this church was not as big as Sagemont, so it wasn't as big of a deal as it may sound to you, because here we have over 100 deacons. There was just five. The first deacon, I'll never forget it because it shaped so much of the ministry and the way that I think about decision making. He comes into my office and he says, "Well, preach, before you get going." That's what he called me, preach. He didn't even call me preacher, he just called me preach. "Hey, preach, before you get going on this discussion, I just want to tell you that I'm going to give you my input, but I don't want you to take it." That really caught me off guard, because I don't think before that and since then anybody's ever said that to me. "I'm going to tell you what I think, but I don't want you to act on it." Well, I'm not good facially at hiding what I'm thinking. When somebody says something that I really don't think is intelligent, I squint. When they surprise me, my eyes, I probably should be telling you this because I'm going to be having conversations with all of you. But he said that to me, and my eyes lit up, you know. He says, "Let me explain." He said, "I believe in the priesthood of the believers, Southern Baptist Church. I believe in the priesthood of the believers. I believe that God speaks through people. But here's what I want to impress upon you, preach. I think it's wise for you to get counsel, but what I don't want for you to do is to feel obligated to do what man wants you to do. I want you to feel obligated to lead the church in the way that the Lord is leading us." Wow. 22-year-old pastor sitting in the room with another deacon, and that was his counsel to me. And it impressed upon me. And probably will be with me for the rest of my ministry, the importance of encouraging leadership to say yes to God over the fear of man, over all these things. And so search your heart. Pray for the Jeremiahs that we have running around Sagemont Church. All different age groups, some youth, some not youth, some really not youth. And pray for them. Give thanks and praise God that chapters like Jeremiah chapter 1 even exist that teach us that God wants to use us in his kingdom. And encourage your leaders to say yes to the Lord. We're going to have prayer together. And then we have just a little church business. But it has been good to be with you. I've enjoyed this time. I feel obligated to apologize for my voice. But my voice was between Stuart's and mine. Mine was the better of the two. And so he allowed me to come and share his place. But it was a beautiful time for me to walk with you through Jeremiah chapter 1 and think about how the Lord responds to us when we struggle with what it is that he wants for us to do. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for our time together in the Word. Thank you for Bill and his leadership and worship. And it just was a beautiful time to lift up your name and to talk about your goodness through song and our prayer time and thinking about Jeremiah. You've been good to us tonight. We acknowledge that and we thank you for that. And when we go out of here in a few minutes, we want to be different than when we came in. We want to be resolved to say yes to you. We want to be committed to pray for our brothers and sisters who are struggling with your call on their life. And we want to live a life of thanksgiving that you include us in the work that you're doing on this planet. It is amazing how good you are to us. And so we thank you and we love you and we pray all together in the name of Jesus. Amen.